Sit down. Now, why some don't become giants? Amen? Faith. Hebrews 4, 2 and 4, 11. Hebrews 4, 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, you are going out of this place as a man of faith, and your faith is obedience, and your obedience is your faith. James 1:22. Why some don't become giants. Now, but be doers of the word. Doers. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What is the name of that syndrome? Dunning-Kruger syndrome. For those of you who do psychology, Dunning-Kruger syndrome is a syndrome where, help me, is it art students don't know as much as you think they know.
It makes you unable to properly assess your ability. So you think you know, but you don't know. Or you think you're intelligent, but you're not intelligent. You think you are able to do certain things, but you're really not able to do certain things. It's called, it's a result of the illusory superiority. So it's superiority, that's an illusion.
Superiority, that is an illusion. Illusory superiority syndrome.
Effect. Yeah, so the effect is the Dunning-Kruger effect, but it's the characteristic is illusory superiority.
Dunning-Kruger effect. You see, art students create big words just to make try like it as if it's a science. You get it? Like they want to make you feel that they're doing something scientific. Dunning-Kruger effect, which is a superiority illusory effect. Dunning-Kruger effect. James 1:22, you see the Dunning-Kruger effect. When you hear the word a lot and you don't do it, you start to have the Dunning-Kruger effect and the superiority illusory syndrome. Verse 23. Now, for if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding in his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Hey. Verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Not a forgetful hearer. There are types of hearers. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This man shall be blessed. Not every man shall be blessed. This man, this is the man who shall be blessed. So it shows you the people who are going to see certain blessings in their lives are those who do. Yeah. So those who are going to have the blessings in their marriages are those who do what is said to them. Not those who just grow and be natural. Being natural will not help you much. Natural is not good. Oh. No, none of the girls have left their hair natural. If you were to leave your hair natural, you would look like boys. Yes. You look just like boys. You know yourselves. Now, all this hair you see, I used to think that girls' hair grows long like this one. It was later on in life that I found out that Asomoah, the girls' hair is... Do girls have longer hair than boys? Does it grow more than... Like if you live in natural, kinky hair, if... If the boys stop cutting their hair to be like girls' hair. Yeah. This man shall be blessed, not every man. This is a man who's going to be blessed. Not every man will be blessed. This man will be blessed. There's a guy who'll be blessed. There's a guy who'll be blessed. So not every man gets blessed. Yeah. Not every man gets blessed. We are all here. We are all hearing the word. Put the verse back. It says, not being a forgetful. Some people are here. They forget what we are saying. As soon as we finish this session, you forget it. That is why it is those who listen to messages over and over who get blessed. Because they don't forget the things. And those who listen to the same message over and over and over and over again are those who get blessed. Really blessed. It's true. There's a difference between those who become obedient. It's the listening. And it's the obeying. But I'm talking about the obeying now. Because you are going out of here as a man of faith and power. Doing miracles, doing wonders. Get blessed. Because they don't forget the things. And those who listen to the same message over and over and over and over again are those who get blessed. Really blessed. It's true. There's a difference between those who become obedient. It's the listening. And it's the obeying. But I'm talking about the obeying now. Because you are going out of here as a man of faith and power. Doing miracles, doing wonders. A man of faith and power. 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 Which means a man of obedience and power. A man of implementation. A man who implements. Yeah. I'm tired of sitting down with people who have books which have both the questions they are asking and the answers to the questions that they are asking are all typed out with examples, and they are asking the same question that is in the book and asking for the answers. It's amazing. But that will not be the story in First Love Church. No. That will not be the story in the First Love Church. First Love Church is made of implementers, obeyers, men of faith and power. Doers of the word. Let's keep moving on. Let's do this God thing. 1 Kings chapter 13. Verse 1. And we're going to read this story together. In verse 1, it says, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now notice, he came to Bethel. Are you there? And Jeroboam was a king who was a rebel. He was an orangu of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Okay? Solomon had died, and his son, Rehoboam, was the king. But Jeroboam, Jeroboam, was the orangu. So he went and started a church in Bethel. Now the church should have been in Jerusalem, but he started it nearby in Bethel. So that, and he used a similar name, everything, and invited people to come. And his name was similar to Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Rehoboam. So you can't really see who is it. But even when you are preaching, you can't easily remember, is it Rehoboam or Jeroboam? Who is the bad and who is the good one? That's one letter, that's a difference. So such people, they will start a church. If it's Lighthouse, then they may say Soundhouse or Right House or Bright House or something House, Chapel International. Watch out for such people. You'll never be one. Yeah. Continue. 1 Kings 13. Now, this is, he was a very one, he had a word from the Lord, just one message. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "Oh, altar, altar, thus says the Lord, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah." And it happened some years later. "And on thee shall he offer the priests of the high places." That means he will kill the priests that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be bent upon thee. In other words, people are going to die on you. He prophesied to the altar. Verse 3. "And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes shall be, that are upon it shall be poured out." In other words, something's going to happen to the altar. "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, catch him, lay hold on him, catch the man who said that, prophesied that bad, that will not win elections, catch him right now. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so he could not pull it again. He had a paralysis of the hand." Verse 5. "And the altar also was rent." The altar broke. His hand was paralyzed and the altar broke. "And the ashes poured out according to the sign." Because sometimes there are prophecies, but just a sign. There's a sign. Not the full prophecy, but a sign that it will happen in the future. So the ashes on the altar broke and the things came and fell off. All right? Just like this man of God has said. Fantastic. Now, verse 6. "And the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me that my hand should start working again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before." Wow. "And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." Verse 8. "And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was so charged to me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and he came not by the way that came to Bethel. So the king offered him lunch. Would you like to have lunch? You've prophesied nice. Would you like to have lunch before you go? No, thank you. I cannot eat. Yeah. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. And them they told also to their father. Now, their father said unto them, What way went he? It's one of the stories that is showing you the importance of obedience to God. For his sons have seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? Are you the one who came? He said, I am. And he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. The father was now bringing another word. So you see, you must also know that there comes a time when fathers may not be walking in the right way. It's not an easy teaching to teach children, because you are always teaching children to obey their fathers. So now the father is telling, a father is an older prophet, was telling this one something against the word of God that he had received. So he said, I am a prophet as thou art. And an angel spoke to me, which wasn't true, by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. You know why this happens? Sometimes when you are an older prophet and you see the freshness and the obedience and the power and the manifestation in the younger ones, it stirs up something you see you are not doing. You see somewhere you are not, where you should have been. Well, he was in the town. He should have gone to Jeroboam and told him that this thing that you are doing is wrong. That says the Lord is wrong, but he didn't know. A person came from far. So now the older prophet was against the younger prophet in his ministry, but he lied to him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Verse 20. And it came to pass that as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. The older prophet was now receiving a word. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and has eaten bread and drank water in the place of which the Lord, obey me in the big things, obey me in the little things. You obeyed him in the big thing. Go and say this big prophecy to the king, who was the king of 10 tribes. Go and prophesy openly in the altar. You obeyed me. And I told you also, don't eat bread here, which is the little things. Derek Prince says God told him, you are, when he was commissioning him in his ministry, you must obey me in the big things and you must obey me in the little things. I say, look, I've seen it over and over. You see people, they obey God when it comes to preach, visitation. We have some wives like that, even in the church. You know, visitation. We have some wives like that, even in the church. You know, I don't even want to say First Love Church. You know, incorrigible, wicked Christian wives. But you should see them on visitation. You should see them teaching. You should see them preaching in the church. I mean, you'll be amazed. Like, it's really good. Yeah. The sheep know her. She's, I mean, she's a commander. She's strong. She does everything. But her way of marrying is so bad that the pastors secretly wish that the young man will see the sense that he should leave her. Yes. They secretly, but they can't say it. They just look and say, ah, the boy should grow up and see that this one ran away to not know. Incorrigible, wicked Christian wives. But you should see them on visitation. You should see them teaching. You should see them preaching in the church. I mean, you'll be amazed. Like, it's really good. Yeah. The sheep know her. She's, I mean, she's a commander. She's strong. She does everything. But her way of marrying is so bad that the pastors secretly wish that the young man will see the sense that he should leave her. Yes. They secretly, but they can't say it. They just look and say, ah, the boy should grow up and see that this one ran away, it will not work. Run away, Peter, run away, Paul. Don't come back, Peter. The little things. Don't eat bread in Bethel. That's all. I didn't say don't eat. I said don't eat here. I said don't eat bread in Bethel. You can eat bread in the next town. Don't eat bread in Bethel. The little things, so. You know, if you don't remember anything in the whole camp, remember only this one. If you don't remember anything in the whole camp, remember only this one. If you want to choose to remember one thing, remember this one. Obey him the big things. Obey him in the little things. Small, apparent to you. You discard it. It's not. I said, don't eat bread in Bethel. You can eat bread in the next town. Don't eat bread in Bethel. The little things, so. You know, if you don't remember anything in the whole camp, remember only this one. If you don't remember anything in the whole camp, remember only this one. If you want to choose to remember one thing, remember this one. Obey him the big things. Obey him in the little things. Small, apparent to you. You discard it. This is not important. I've done. I should prophesy. I should speak to the king. To prophesy to the altar, I should give a sign. Shut up, break. And he has also given you a little thing. Don't eat bread here. Eat chicken, eat shrimp, eat meat, eat everything. Eat what you want, but don't eat it here. Keep your sandwiches and Just travel to the next town, cross the border and eat in the next town. It didn't even say don't cook here. Don't eat it here. Put my scripture back, please. Chemasuma, Chemasuma. Chemasuma, Chemasuma. Do you know what I've noticed? Then he came back and he ate, drank bread and water. But you go back to the next verse before. So as he was eating, then the word of the Lord came to the old prophet. For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord commanded thee, saying, but hast come back, hast eaten bread, hast drank water in the place which the Lord said, don't eat bread, don't eat water. Thy carcass shall not come to the sepulchre of thy fathers. Which means that it's not even saying you will die, but it's even prophesying about what will happen to your body. Your body will not get home to the sepulchre of your fathers. Mercy. So you see, the fathers, they may not be obeying certain things, but they are anointed and they are fathers. Yes. So it's something you have to be careful with. But the same person who seems to be out of order, he can bring a major curse over your life. Same person. Very dangerous. Shkala Masa. Bring back my scripture. Put it back. Verse 23. And it came to pass that after he had eaten bread and drank water, that he saddled him the ass to wait for the prophet whom he had brought back. He saddled him. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. Not because of the big things. Oh. The lion slew him and slew it, and his carcass was cast by the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion stood by the carcass. You see, these are very strange things. It's a supernatural death. Because why will a lion stand by an ass which he can eat? Haven't you watched films where the lion is chasing a zebra and catching a zebra and eating it? But he comes here and he attacks the man, kills the man, and then he leaves the man lying there and leaves the ass, which is also food, there, and he's standing there. The ass stood by it and the lion stood by the carcass also. Supernatural. Verse 25. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. People were passing by and they saw the lion, and the lion didn't attack. There is a film called The Ghost and the Darkness. It's about a man eating lion. I think based on a true story in either Zimbabwe or South Africa or somewhere. Yeah, The Ghost, I think it's called The Ghost and the Darkness. It was like this. Just attack him, kill. Entered hospital. He eats them, kills them. When they went to the cave, with just so many human bones. The lion has eaten so many people. In fact, he made all the people leave the area. Yeah. Back. And he told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Alright? Verse 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God. Okay. Who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. You should have known better than to obey what I'm saying. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion was still standing there looking, because he had been appointed to kill the man. And the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. All his two foods were there. He has not eaten any of them. And the prophet took up the carcass. He was not afraid of the lion. Laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, "When I am dead, bury me in the sepulchre where the man of God is buried, and put my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar and against the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass." Amen. So here you see the importance of believing God, having faith, not only in the huge, big and dramatic and amazing great things that God is saying. If somebody says, if I tell to you, go to school, why don't you tell me to pray? I said, go to school. If I tell you, do master's degree, believe me. If I tell you, cook, learn how to cook. Learn how to fry an egg. Don't laugh. Why don't you say, don't you know how to fry egg? I say, learn how to fry an egg. I want to learn how to fast. Yeah, you say you want to fast. And I'm saying fry an egg. Hey. So, why is it that some people do not become... Why did this prophet not become an old father? And an old prophet? A giant. He was just a young prophet with a short ministry of one prophecy and finished. And his ministry was cut short because he didn't obey or believe in the small things. It's true. If you take my book, Church Growth, all of you say you are pastors. You see, that book, Church Growth, Mega Church, Church Planting, would be books you will never put down and never leave. Stop reading. How can you finish reading it? When you open one page and you see something right there, what you should do? Instead of looking and saying, things are not working. Things are not working. Things should be working. We've done everything, but it's not working. Not true. You see, one of the things that are amazing about this ministry is that, you see, part of my calling is what I call how to do it. How to do it. It's not just, it shall be done, or it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass, yes. In fact, at first, my ministry was mostly how to do it. Now it is become a lot of it shall come to pass. You see, there's a lot of more prophetic words that are coming in the preaching. But it has been largely how to, how you can, how it will be. So those things are there. And most of them are little things. Yeah. How to start a church is a chapter in a book. A whole book, how to let the church grow. How to catch anointing from somebody. Like this person is anointed. How to cut the same anointing that is on the person? And I'm going, you know, in a short period, I've told you there will be just a period, just a short time in this camp. It may be today. I will be saying something. When I say that's it. It's like what I'm saying now. If you don't remember anything. No, because if you ask me, when I look at all the people who fail, usually it's the little things. If you were to ask me, why would I marry somebody, you would probably be surprised at what I would tell you. It may not be any of the things that you are thinking are important at all. You'll be so surprised. Why did the man have a lion eating him? You see, those at the back, I want to just excuse me. Where does the back start from? Where does it start from? Somewhere down here. Okay. If you want to take 50% is a man, 50% is a woman, you are going to find out why is a woman not happy, why is a man not happy? If you go into why is a man not happy, why is a woman not happy, you will find out that it is small things. Yeah. That's why when you say, is it the reason why you want to divorce? Then they trivialize. Sir, he presses the toothpaste from the middle. Because of that, you want to leave. Cobwebs. Cobwebs. Somebody came to see me in my office. He's leaving his wife because of cobwebs. He said, Bishop, can you believe cobwebs? There are cobwebs in my house. When I came to my house, I came to look. I saw so many cobwebs. I said, I've not even seen them. But for somebody, it is a major thing. Serving God is not as simple as it sounds. So you better believe. If you want to work for somebody, an important person, always start asking yourself, what are the small things that matter? Yeah. But you see, you always have what is important to you. Like all the girls here, you all have what is important to you. My hair, my this. So you go and you invest in it. You do it. I don't hardly see any girl who has not done her hair. Out of all done her, come. One, two. The rest, I just turn to my right. Come. Come. You two, come. Stand here. No, up here. Come this way. Up. Quickly. Is it a natural hair? Is it a natural hair? Investments. Nobody can advise you against the word. Because you need faith to do it. Because you have only vague scriptures that will encourage you to leave a marriage. They are too vague. Yes. And you may blame somebody later. And you may say, this one told me to divorce. I told you to divorce. Your mouth like a frog. Don't come back, Peter. Don't come back, Paul. Fly away, Peter. Fly away, Paul. Go higher. Kabashataba. Have faith in the big things, the big commandments, and the little things. The little things. Don't eat bread in Bethel. That's all. I didn't say don't eat. I said don't eat here. Let it be that you are going to, from today, be a person who believes in the small things. Especially cholerics. Cholerics. You see, when you are choleric, you see certain small things as not necessary. Cholerics are like that. Like this was important. Like they'll say, have you eaten? Eat. Okay, eat. Yes. Yes. But you see, without saying, are you all right? Everything okay? The same food that you come and you, even the sound on the naked woman are available on pictures everywhere. Naked with a smile. Naked with a good attitude. Wow! My preaching is not good, you see. Yeah. You see, one day somebody was staying outside a house or a place where another person was staying. Okay. A couple. Mm. They never had opportunity of seeing inside the room of that couple. But the sounds that were coming out of the room. Do you know what is a hovercraft? Do you know a hovercraft? You see, that sound, you will never see, but the sound that is coming from there show the quality of what is in the room. Not the big things. The big things are all, the essential elements are there. Followed by children and whatever. They are all there. But then certain very small things. Most people don't believe small things. Just look at you as if you are playing. You are a child. There are times I preach, I look at people, they feel like, oh, Bishop, you are just playing. Yeah. I see it in the eyes of people. I mean, I read people by eyes. I employ people even by eyes. Oh, yes. I see, I'm looking at the person, I say, this person loves me. I would employ this person. I even employ by eyes. I would say, he shall not judge by the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears. He's seeing more. Yes. It's like, I mean, it's these funny things that he's saying and these things that are frivolous. And like, let's get back to the scripture and, I mean, let's keep on moving on. Stupid, then get out of my service and go to another church where they'll say all the serious things that you think are important. I don't want such things at all. It's like I'm not serious. I've branched into other things that are not necessary. That he started those topics again. Then why don't come here? Since you are more, what do you call it? And you. Look, some people at the back there are not saying away. I'm telling you. Look, some people at the back there are not saying away. I'm telling you. The last row, arrest all those people at the back there. The very. So what you are saying is, yeah, the part you said about prophesying to the altar, Jeroboam and all these things, I agree with all those things. This part about eating, I don't think God will say what you are supposed to eat and where you are supposed to. I don't think that, I mean, you are taking things too far. You are going out of, it's out of place. It's out of your jurisdiction. It's not part of the word. Damn fool! When I was preaching about loyalty, I said step one, independent spirit. People were laughing at me. What is that? What are these? Somebody told me that you are preaching this because of how you run your church. I said, then stage two, offense. It's like small things. What are these small points? Small points. Small points. You want me to preach about love and patience, isn't it? And this and this and that. Love and patience, isn't it? And this and this and that. And verses of Holy Spirit. Things, big things. I said, in the offense. Then what? Passivity. Being passive and you are not... You don't say anything about anything anymore. It's like, it's not a message. Somebody told me it's not a message. Huh? Yes. These are not teachings. Somebody said to me, these are not things you teach. What are you saying? Then after passivity, what? Critical spirit. Critical state, criticizing. What are these? These are not doctrines. We want doctrines of baptisms, doctrines of salvation, doctrines of faith, doctrines of hope. And after critical, what? Political. That word is not in the Bible. Tom, it's not a message. Huh? Yes. These are not teachings. Somebody said to me, these are not things you teach. What are you saying? Then after passivity, what? Critical spirit. Critical state. Criticizing. What are these? These are not doctrines. We want doctrines of baptisms. Doctrines of salvation. Doctrines of faith. Doctrines of hope. And after critical, what? Political. That word is not in the Bible. They were laughing at me. A lot of people are saying. Stupid people mock me. They mock me. I'm telling you. They mock me. When I say mock me, say, what is this loyalty? It's not something you teach. Put the book aside. Not teachings. Somebody said to me, these are not things you teach. What are you saying? Then after passivity, what? Critical spirit. Critical state. Criticizing. What are these? These are not doctrines. We want doctrines of baptisms. Doctrines of salvation. Doctrines of faith. Doctrines of hope. And after critical, what? Political. That word is not in the Bible. They were laughing at me. A lot of people are saying. Stupid people mock me. They mock me. I'm telling you. They mock me. When I say mock me, say, what is this loyalty? It's not something you teach. Put the book aside. And after political, deception. And after deception, execution. Open. You pay 5 CDs. From Saturday, it's changing to 10 CDs. If you don't like, we have a car park outside. All the land outside is for us. We bought it and put car on it for parking. If you want to park here, it's 10 CDs. You come in. You don't like it. Stay outside. And I say, you follow what I say or out. You see, when you go to England, you park at the airport, you pay to enter, you pay. I went to a place in Accra here, some white people have built a building. When I entered to park, 6 CDs for 45 minutes to park. How much? £7.50 for 30 minutes. There is no red sand in this school. There is no red sand. It's all covered with concrete and stones. Beautiful. There's nowhere you stand on the red sand here. And grass and forest reservations. Obey in the small things. What is 10 cities? What is 5 cities? But that is the difference between Europe and Ghana. The toll that we pay, 1 city, which is what is it? At the down there. Yeah. People are driving cars that cost $100,000, $70,000. They are passing. They pay one CD toll. And most of those people don't even pay the toll. Yes. Yes. For 20 years, it's been there. One CD. How can a country develop? If you go from here to here, when I was in Houston, going to the, Orlando, going to the airport, from our just a short 20 minutes, we paid four tolls. Yeah. Toll. When we got to the airport, we paid to park. So you see, those little things make the difference between a developed country and an underdeveloped country. Yeah? And until you see certain little things, you know that things are not well. So until certain little things. So when I say, learn how to swim as a girl, as a boy. He's a white man. You see, he's a white man. Is he saying this? You are a stupid fool. I don't even know. From Sydney, from Melbourne, from Adelaide, from Samoa, from Vanuatu, from Papua New Guinea. All of them were there. Faithful. You are mocking me when I came with a small point, murmuring, political stage, passivity, deception. You are laughing at my message. You see, so you obey in a big thing. So yeah, if you were talking of the doctrine of baptisms. The doctrine of what? The doctrine of holiness. Doctrine of prayer. Then you say that it's a big thing. Restitution. Yes. Sure. Over the years. And until you see certain little things, you know that things are not well. So until certain little things. So when I say, learn how to swim as a girl, as a boy. He's a white man. You see, he's a white man. Is he saying this? You are a stupid fool. I don't even know your name. I want to see you personally, to personally insult you. Just between me and you. I can insult you personally. I want to take you personally. Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? At the back again. Is it the guy standing at the door? There's somebody standing at the door at the far back there. This way. Who is the one? I think we should arrest that person.
I love it.
If you don't remember anything in the whole camp, remember this young sign. The gate of the presidential palace is going to fall down. Then the gate falls down. Oh, Charlie, I'll be a wild prophet. And then God tells me that I shouldn't eat KFC between now and Monday. And I go and eat KFC on Saturday. I could have eaten the KFC on Monday, but I said, God said, don't eat KFC between now and Monday. I was able to prophesy to the president. The gate of the castle fell down. Everybody, they are all afraid of me in town now. They have seen that I'm a real man of God. And he said, I shouldn't eat KFC till Monday. That small thing has become a whole meeting and we are not following it. Lord, have mercy on us. Do you see why people are not happy? Do you see why people are not entering the higher level of life that God gives? Yeah. Now, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not difficult. Yes, this is amazing. You see, this is a characteristic of God's commandments. They are not difficult to you. It's amazing. You see, even the hardest thing that he tells you to do, It will be something that you've done something near it before.
Wow.
Yes. You've done something like it before. Like when David had to go and fight with Goliath, he had fought a bear before. He had fought a lion with claws. So it was the next step up. So almost everything that God tells you, you'll find out that it's possible. It's like building this building. If you see human beings here just doing something small on the floor. Another one doing something small. Another one doing something small. And together, in the end, you see a huge thing. But if this huge thing comes about by doing little things. So his commandments are not, and some of his commandments are even enjoyable. They're even enjoyable. They are so nice if you do them. His commandments are not grievous. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of God. That's a characteristic of God's commandments. When God was telling Abraham to go and kill Isaac, he has already brought out his penis in the hot afternoon. You see, even if I give you an injection to inject yourself, you'll see what it's like. These are painful things. The person is into painful things already. He's already into painful things. He has left his father and his mother. I mean, these are journeys. He's been on a journey of faith for some time. It's just another step further into deeper, a little deeper into the same thing. Oh, yes. His commandments are not grievous. So, in other words, exercising faith is not difficult. It's very possible. Very possible. Very possible. That's the nature of the commands from God. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Beautiful. Isaiah 28. Look at it. Fantastic. Who shall teach knowledge? Who shall make him make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Hear a little, bear a little. You see, a little, another little. A little, another little. A little, another little. So each time you open a book, you see another little has come up. And you must obey it. Then you see your life going higher. Then you start saying, the life I now live, or the experiences I'm now having. The life I now live, I live by the faith, by the obedience to the little thing that I've been told. This little one, this little one, this little one, this little one. The life I now live. It's not hard. It's not hard. Before you stand, you know, I'm doing a miracle service. 100,000 people there. The president of the country is sitting behind me. And I'm preaching. I'm doing miracle service. It may look difficult. Yes, the president and all his entourage are sitting behind me watching what I'm doing on live TV. But I've been doing it here, there, in this circumstance, with pastors who don't believe, critical people, who are some way, people who sleep, preaching. I'm doing miracle service. It may look difficult. Yes, the president and all his entourage are sitting behind me watching what I'm doing on live TV. But I've been doing it here, there, in this circumstance, with pastors who don't believe, critical people, who are some way, people who sleep, group, small group, international group. It's something, my church, outside my church. It's something I've been. So it's not as far-fetched as you imagine. Hear a little, bear a little. Precept, then another precept. Precept. But you see, what happens is that you get a precept and you don't flow with it. And the precepts look plenty. Verse 11. But with stammering lips, I speak to these people. Now, what does he mean? What does he mean? Kashapusa tabala. Verse 11. With stammering lips, with repetitive teachings. You see, God, critical people, who are some way, people who small sleep, group, small group, international group. It's something, my church, outside my church, it's something I've been. So it's not as far-fetched as you imagine. Hear a little, bear a little. Precept, then another precept. Precept. But you see, what happens is that you get a precept and you don't flow with it. And the precepts look plenty. Verse 11. But with stammering lips, I speak to these people. Now, what does he mean? What does he mean? Kashapusa tabala. Verse 11. With stammering lips, with repetitive teachings. You see, God repeats. So that's why those who repeat messages, they are the ones who hear the word of the Lord and walk in the faith that God has intended them to walk in. With stammering lips, I speak to them. When is live? Yes. A little. So his commandments are not, don't eat bread. No, don't eat bread. Don't eat bread in Bethel. Hey! This is perhaps the biggest cause of failure that I see in people. They will do the big things. When it comes to a small thing, you say this. They will not do that small thing. You say smiles. Oh, I smile. I smile. You don't smile. Swim, so I swim. You walk in the water, so I swim. And you argue, like Sarah was arguing with the angels. They talk back. You are walking in a new life. Everybody standing. We are going for breakfast. Remind me to tell you about some people. Yes. Whose name begins with an R. Yes. Lift your hands. Father, thanks a million for the beautiful blessing. What a beginning today, Lord. Are showing us in your word how to obey you, how to have faith, how to live by faith in big things and little things. Thanks, Lord Jesus. What a blessing has come over our lives. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is what pertains to the ministry. From 25 years old and above, they shall serve in the tabernacle of the Lord. But at the age of 15, they shall step back from the priesthood. They will assist their brothers in the service of the Lord. Younger people will take up the ministry. This is your time to work from 25 to 50. This is your season. 25 to 50. It is the best time of your life to work for the Lord. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You must understand that you don't have forever, and you cannot postpone the time of your sacrifice. Do you remember how young and innocent you were when you walked deeper and deeper and deeper in sin? You were not too young to walk and live in sin. How can you be too young to do the work of the Lord? This is your time to work. 25 to 50. This is your season. 25 to 50. It is the best time of your life to work for the Lord. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. 25 to 50. Jesus gave us a warning. The night is coming when no man can work. Oh, this is the time to work for the Lord. This is the time to fight to build the house of God. Oh, this is your time.